as always, ask you to continue to pray for this part of the service. I'd like to go to the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter. 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, and right at the end of that chapter. That's okay. You just woke three people up. It's okay. John chapter 20, the again, I want to start in the 30th verse. The scenario here, of course, is where Jesus appeared to the disciples and to Thomas, and where Thomas got his nickname, Doubting Thomas. But so that's where this is. Now, in the 30th verse, says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So many other signs Jesus did in the presence of his disciples. And I've always emphasized, as we go through places like this, that his disciples, I think he knew what they needed. Just think of what has just happened. And they're just men, the apostles are. So he certainly gave Thomas what he needed there. My Lord and my God, Thomas said in the 28th verse. But many more, which are not written in this book, that he performed. And I believe somewhere else that we'll read, it kind of mentions that about if everything was written in a book, the world couldn't contain it, that Jesus did. But these are written, John says, that these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, if we believe, that is evidence that we do have life in his name. We have eternal life, and that we're born of God. If, in fact, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I won't get so much into this, but there's another aspect of the abundance of life. And really, a lot of that relates directly to 1 John 2:24, that abiding in him, let that abide in you that you've heard from the beginning, so forth. So that has a lot to do with this, the abundance of life in Jesus Christ. Now, in the first chapter of this book of John, chapter 1, verse 11 here in John, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He did not give them the power to select that they would be a child of God. No, that's not what this is talking about. Let me read the next verse. To them that believe on his name. So that's who it was that he did this with. Which were born, because it's not the end of the sentence, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but of God. They were born. They were already born of the will of God. There. Now, one other place. I get two scriptures to back this up in 1 John the fifth chapter, first verse. Very, very plain. I'm so thankful for this verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, so that just described all those people that I read about there in John, same writer. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. They are born of God. Not going to be or will be. They are. They are. He is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. One other verse since I'm right here. The 10th verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So if we believe, and I do, I don't understand all of it completely. You think of the Trinity and so many other things that we study and we believe but yet don't understand completely. And those that are there with God, I believe they understand it in fullness, in perfection. So that's who he's talking. These things are written that ye might believe. We're given what we need in life. I'll say that again. They were given what they needed. They needed that right there. And what other, I wonder what other signs that Jesus performed in front of them to convince them. And yet here, let me go continue through this and kind of shift gears, but we'll see how they're reacting, the apostles, the disciples. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So here's twice. And on this wise showed he himself. And it lists who all was there together in the second verse. Third verse, so Jesus is going to show himself there. He has not yet. And so Simon Peter saith unto them, the other disciples, to that group gathered there, I go a-fishing. He says, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Let me get a scripture out of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, one verse here, the 24th verse, 10th chapter of Hebrews. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Peter, Simon Peter, made his decision there, and after what all he had just experienced and seen and the signs and so forth, he's just going to go back to his career, which is fishing. I go a fishing. His decision affected the rest of them. Had Peter not done that and done what he felt that the Lord, where he was guiding him in his work for Jesus Christ, then I'm certain, almost certainly, that they would have followed him. Maybe it would have been most of them, not all of them. I don't know. But they all went with Simon Peter to go fishing again. So what we do affects those around us. It has me. Somebody will, and whether it's most of, half the time it's guilt. It's like, well, they've done this, and all I need to do that too. You know, I feel guilty for not helping or whatever it is. I didn't help moving pews Friday because I can't, but I would have. I'm thankful that y'all got those moved. For whatever purpose, we know that people are watching us and looking at us and listening to all of us, and they'll follow that. So remember Hebrews 10:24, and then what happened here. That night they caught nothing. So that's the scene here. Says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So they didn't know him. I love the plainness of this word of God. They didn't know him. He stood there on the shore. So some distance away and all, but he hadn't revealed himself. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. He said, Children, have ye any meat? Now, children can either mean just a child. We know what children are. It can mean also, I see, the word here behind this English word can mean an immature Christian. Well, I think they were that. I mean, he just established the church, but they'd been with him and all. But we know what Peter did. He denied him he denied him to save his natural life. And he asked them this, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? They answered him, no. I can only imagine their mood at this time. They've been fishing all night. They've caught nothing. And when the morning comes and they're right there near the shore and the first thing is some guy on the beach asking, have you caught anything? I'm sure they were upset. But he still hasn't revealed himself. So then it goes on. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And ye shall find. Again, I don't know if they were shaking their heads. Like, we've done this all night. We've cast the net all over the place and caught nothing. But they cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, in this case, maybe Peter remembered, because Jesus hadn't revealed himself yet to them. It's just somebody on the beach there near their ship, and he says, cast it on the right side of the ship. And maybe he remembered what's written over in Luke when Jesus told them how to fish. And then they caught fish. And so maybe he needed that experience then to now react in the right way here. So then there it says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So he saw him. He saw who it was there. John did. And told Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. So Peter, as he did, I jumped into the water and swam to shore. He's going. There's my Lord. This is second appearance here. And he says, as soon as they, let me go back. I didn't finish that. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. That's one of the places, that verse there, 11th verse. I wonder now, why is that detail in there? 153 fish. I don't know how many, I wouldn't have known how many fish they had. I don't know what a lot of fish is. Yeah, so, but it was a lot. Before the nets, they had to get another ship to help. It was sinking the ships over in Luke is how much they got. Drug the net to land full of great fishes, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Okay, so the net wasn't broken. So it's a lot of fish. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. So we just read about the campfire and the food there. It was bread fish laid thereon. I mentioned this yesterday yesterday morning over at Indian Oaks, but it still amazes me to see that Okay, Jesus Christ fixed them breakfast. He knows. He already knows what night they had. He knew they didn't catch any fish. He knew they didn't have any when he asked them. But he'd prepared food for them, cooked fish and bread there. Now his work is accomplished, you know, at this point, Calvary and so forth, the salvation and so forth, but he's still caring and supplying, providing for his disciples here. You think, well, it's just breakfast. It's cooking some fish and bread, built a fire and all, but he's providing for them and cares for them. So Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They all knew at this point, this is the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So third time. I could speculate, why was there not a fourth time? Why didn't he just do it twice? You know, we don't know that, but I think he knew what they needed. They needed to see some of this and be reminded. I think Peter, again, it's just me, but I'm thinking he was reminded. Yes, someone told us a while back where to drop our nets and so forth. When ships were sinking, we got so many fish from that. And so maybe he did learn something. Now, the main part that I want to get into right here is Jesus with Peter. Now, before Jesus had shown himself to the disciples and to Thomas, but it was mainly for Thomas is why he was there. That shows me, too, that he cares individually for us, for each of us. He knows us. When it says hairs on our head are numbered, he knows each of us that intimately and knows what we need. He does now. He hadn't shown himself to me physically in my life. Again, people have had visions and so forth. I don't know, but I don't recollect him audibly speaking to me, but he does to us. Haven't you had the times where you felt like Christ was right there with you and talked to you through the Holy Ghost? So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. And he goes, let me go ahead and get through this. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I'm sure you've heard this in the differences of the words love, lovest, and love here. Two different words. They're not the same. What Jesus asked him the first two times did not coincide with the answer of Peter in the word love that he used. Jesus used the word love, agapeo. And then Peter was using the word, I have it here, phileo. Two different words of love. English language is limited. What Jesus meant was a sacrificial love, that kind of love. In other words, make some sacrifices. Do you love me to sacrifice for me? then Peter would answer, yes, I love you. It's a heartfelt affection of love. Jesus is saying, no, that's not what I asked you. It's two different things. I think someone really needs to have that phileo love for Jesus of the heart in order to have the sacrificial love for them. Now, so we see that Peter didn't have a problem with loving Jesus Christ. He didn't have a problem with not being born again, not believing him, not trusting Jesus Christ. He was having a problem with serving him and sacrificing for him. Whether it was when he said, I go a-fishing, at that point, maybe Peter thought, well, I denied Christ. That terrible sin that I denied him three times, he doesn't want me to serve him. Well, he had called Peter. Yes, he wants you to serve him. And he's asking him again now, do you love me so much that you will serve me, sacrifice for me, commit yourself to me? So that's what he asked. And so feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do that. And we know how this turned out. He was blessed to do that. Read the second chapter of Acts again. And so many other places. Did Peter never make another mistake or commit another sin? He committed them. In the very face of the Apostle Paul, he did. The Jews and the Gentiles there, he did. And he had a lot to learn there with his Cornelius experience of how he was to speak to and treat Gentiles. So he still had so much to learn. And I think of that with yesterday we laid hands on a man there at Indian Oaks that they had chosen to ordain to the office of deacon. And whether it's that or the office of the ministry, a minister has exercised his gift, that calling, prior to being ordained, and the church has to judge that. And so yesterday, that deacon, he's a deacon of the Indian Oaks Church, Brother Widener is. Now, he's not a deacon here. We've got enough. But he's a deacon over there. But you continue to learn and work, and then with all the different people and personalities that you deal with, and ones coming in and out, you continue to learn. You don't treat everyone the same way. I may start out that way, but I typically start out more subdued, and then as I get to know you better, I start letting you have it, you know. Sister Meredith knows that. But what goes around comes around. Peter was having a problem with being faithful and sacrificing his life to Jesus Christ. Not that he would be saved eternally, but because he was, and he saw. He saw this man and all those wonders and miracles and signs that Jesus showed them that we'll never know. We'll never know. They will not find a scroll somewhere that should have been included in God's word, in his canon. They won't find it. Jesus Christ knew what he meant before he left again. And I can only imagine the sadness as they watched him at his ascension. And then you talk about having to hang on and to lay hold on eternal life when Jesus in the flesh left them. And they're left there now as the church and then to continue to grow the church that Jesus Christ himself set up. You talk about depression, but they had so much work ahead of them there. And I'm thankful that they were faithful. Not everyone is. We teach our children, and then we teach them what church is and what the purpose is. We teach them about God and Jesus Christ, and then Lord willing, they continue to come to church and worship God. I'm thankful that I can rest at night. If my son happened to just quit all of a sudden, I still believe he is a child of God. I've seen the fruit. But I want him to keep going to church, whether he continues preaching or not. But you pray for him, and I pray that he will akapeo, love Christ and sacrifice. And I pray that I would do that more, because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us eternally. He sacrificed on Calvary for us, himself. He shed the blood, the redeeming blood, but he sacrificed himself. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, of the elect world. He did that. And now we're lifted up each time. So as I close, Peter didn't need to be converted, as the world would say, converted, to be regenerated, born again. He needed to be strengthened. He needed encouragement. Jesus had already prayed, "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." So he knew what Peter needed. Now, there was a song that we sang that Brother Roger led earlier, the last verse of that song, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all." It demands it. He was demanding of Peter his soul, his life, his all there in sacrificial love to Jesus Christ. May God bless and keep you.